What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
We're back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know what you feel like doing tonight. Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Hello, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD 2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. And contrary to the Y Press release piece earlier this week, it's not movie sociology, it's film sociology.
Oh.
One of the Y Press kids came in and did a piece and asked me questions about the connection between Judd Apatow and Woody Allen. And, it was a good piece, and I sounded fine, but the kid got the show's title wrong. But he's a student. It's all right. We were all students once, weren't we?
We're all students of life, Matt.
Gosh, pass the shrooms. That voice you hear is my buddy and Nuvo colleague and IFJA colleague, Ed Johnson. Now, Melissa Davis is back after her 2 week.
Hello.
I was telling Ed, I told her to take the day off. No, yeah, I didn't. Yeah. You weren't coming in either way.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And you had a good holiday?
Yeah, I did. It was relaxing and nice.
Good.
Yeah. Happy to be back.
Didn't have to put up with Ben Kingsley screaming in your ears for a couple of weeks.
I missed it.
Oh, that's sweet of you. Thank you, Melissa. You are my best friend. So, sorry. We quote the room whenever. You're a Matthew Fox show.
Pardon me?
You're a Matthew Fox show.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. So you have a good holiday?
Yeah. And only a month till my Matthew Fox show is back on the air.
Are you bristling with anticipation?
I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. Lost.
That's what I was going to say. Were you talking about Lost? Matthew Fox? Okay.
The one thing I'm afraid of, there's a chance that the State of the Union address could bump the first episode.
Oh, geez. First Charlie Brown Christmas, now this. He cannot do anything right, apparently. I'm sorry. It's called a DVD, folks. Get it. But I know, that's broadcast.
Broadcast.
All right. Well, wow, Ed, Melissa, it's like 2009 all over again. I think next week might be the official one-year anniversary. I think we started the 2nd, or maybe it was the 3rd. I thought we started the 15th of January last year. That makes no difference. We'll double-check. Anyway.
I was here for the first
one. You were here for the very first one, as rightly you should. So,
and I'm your Bill Murray.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to spray paint the console pretty soon. Yay.
Scarlett Johansson need not worry. So, all right.
Want to know what I whispered in her ear?
Yes. Make up something.
Nah.
I loved Rushmore. That's what he said. All right. Well, we'll get to our best and worst in a bit, but we had films open. We had, four films that came to.
That's right.
Came to town. We had the Terry Gilliam film, which is already in the front runner for one of the longest titles of the year so far.
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus?
Yes. Also known as Heath Ledger's last film. So I haven't seen it yet, I have to admit, but I'm intrigued, and I think disappointing Terry Gilliam is still better than 90% of the stuff that's out there.
I saw The Brothers Grimm, and
he almost lost his card for that?
Yeah, you could build a case there.
Okay.
But well, this we'll is Heath Ledger. He passed, and then Johnny Depp, Colin Farrell, and Jude Law stepped in.
So I'm intrigued. At the very least, I'm intrigued to see how they handled that.
Yeah.
So, and Let's see what else. Of course, we're going to talk about Leap Year in just a little bit. You saw Youth in Revolt, which we'll get to in a little bit.
And Daybreakers.
Daybreakers. They didn't screen that for us, did they?
No.
No, of course not. There has to be at least one.
Yeah, that's the vampire movie where the vampires have taken over so completely that they're running out of humans to drink the blood of. What to do, what to do.
Right. And, well, this apparently more blood in this film with Willem Dafoe than, say, Antichrist.
Oh.
Let's not talk. We'll move on.
I still want to see it, though.
Oh, my gosh. We'll get to it in a little bit. Let's get to the new stuff. I'll start. I have to say, I was kind of dreading when I saw the trailers for Leap Year, which is it was inevitable that Amy Adams would have to star in a romantic comedy. Apparently, it's required. You know why, Melissa? Because she's a woman.
Yeah, she's a girl.
She's a lady. So, and in this one, she's one of those people that decorates apartments for open houses, and her fiancé is not quite proposing at the speed that she wants. So there's an old Irish folk story that on a leap year, the woman may propose to the man. Well, he is in Ireland. Wow. On business, so she's going to surprise
him. What a lucky happenstance.
And anyway, you'll figure out the rest when you hear the trailer.
Get ready to lose your mind. Guess who I saw walking out of the store carrying that little red bag?
Oh, my God.
So this is for you.
Okay, hold on. We got to work on your surprise face. Ask me. Will you marry me? Shake your eyes.
Honey?
The good news is you have time to practice between now and then.
They're earrings.
Yeah. A little something to keep your ears warm while I'm in Dublin.
It is leap year, you know. In Ireland, a woman can propose to a man on the 29th of February.
Dad, I'm not going to Dublin.
Oh, I'm not going to die without getting engaged.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are diverging to Cardiff, Wales.
Wales? Hello. I need a taxi to Dublin.
I'm your man, Mrs.
I'll drive you to Dublin.
Thank you. I'm going to propose to my boyfriend on leap day.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I thought, woo!
Woo! That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
This January.
I can't move.
It comes as a real shock to find out that you speak fluent cow.
The girl who's always in control. We'll find out what happens.
You fried my BlackBerry.
You fried the whole village.
When you lose it.
No. Wait.
Stop it.
The car.
I ride.
I've got a room. You two are married, aren't you? It's Mr. and Mrs.
Okay, Alan.
Lovely.
I just can't wait to see you. You can't imagine what I've been through.
I can see right through the curtain.
Can you? Can you?
No peeking.
You're young, married, in love. Show us a kiss. Oh. Damn it, man. Kiss the girl. Now, that's a kiss.
To say yes. To say there's nothing holding you back.
I'm really sorry.
Anna.
Will you marry me?
This was all I wanted.
Well, okay. Yeah, it's script-wise brutally predictable. Uh-huh. You know how it's going. You know how, and by the way, there's a couple things that need to retire. One of them is the shoe and forehead thing that happens during the wedding, which you hear there. But when I find out you're ripping off stuff from Just Married, the American plugging in the foreign thing. Come on, folks. You know what? I one of my New Year's resolutions, and I don't do New Year's resolutions at all, is I have a habit sometimes of giving credit to a film for what it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid this is the case with Leap Year. Besides the fact that it's a predictable as hell film, it's okay. It's not, and I guess it's not the psychotic Kate Hudson type. It's not, I know Brittany Murphy's dead, but it's not Little Black Book, and it's not How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and it's not What Happens in Vegas. Amy Adams' character is not she could have been a lot more of an ugly American. Unfortunately, her character isn't, and they don't look down the nose of the Irish. It also helps that the director is Anna Tucker, who's given us Hillary and Jackie and Shop Girl, and that's a list we got to work on as art house film directors who move into major studio, like yeah. Wayne Wang and a few others.
Well, how is Amy Adams?
She's fine. She's
Matthew
always
Matthew Good.
Fine. Yeah,
Friend.
Matthew Good is of course that's the blonde guy from Watchmen, not the blue uh-huh. one, not the faceless one. But yeah, I mean they have a nice little chemistry. They're fun to watch and it's gorgeous. Whoever the cinematographer is should get a night from the Irish Tourism Board. I mean it's.
Now I read somewhere that they said that while the scenery was spectacular, it was postcard spectacular. It wasn't specific enough. Does that ring true?
Yeah, I mean, it's some of these shots are stupid pretty. I mean, light glistening off the water, and I think there's a couple day for night shots, but that look just something out of a book cover.
This one reviewer was talking about how Local Hero was a gorgeous film about a specific place. And that this film was a gorgeous film about any place.
There's no there's no signs of Angela's Ashes or the Commitments, especially when they get to Dublin. it's gorgeous. I mean, it really is. But it was, 90 minutes and, pretty stuff. It just hit me on a decent note, and I didn't hate it. Which is why my quotes don't get in the ad campaign. Didn't hate it, Matthew Soucy.
There we go. Did you know, by the way, that Jenna Fisher from The Office and mm-hmm. Amy Adams are sisters, but no one knows it. And John Krakowski, Jenna Fisher's love interest from The Office,
yes.
and Zachary Levi from Chuck are brothers, but nobody knows it.
Really?
Absolutely.
Like never see him in the same room.
Never ever.
See that? Well, and Mike Perry, one of our regular guests here, he's the Tony Randall actually of the show.
Oh,
if you're the Bill Murray, smart guy. But but he's our correspondent when it comes to the current crop of smart leading ladies. Amy Adams, Emily Blunt, Rachel McAdams,
right.
Elizabeth Banks, and women of that. Oh, he also wants to produce. Hey, I'm going to tell Ed, that's the other thing. We've got to get your Sis Mance movie
made.
Oh,
yeah. I'm going to work on that.
Yeah, because after she got fed up after I Love You, Man, of all the bromance movies.
Right.
So I pitched, and we're looking for backers, Ed, is the 2.5-hour Apatow-esque movie with Rashida Jones and Leslie Mann and Anna
Amy Sedaris, yeah.
And they're going to express their feelings, and they're going to share really good times of bonding, and they're also going to talk about flatulence.
Oh.
See?
They don't have to do that.
Because you do that in Apatow movies.
I don't like that part of the movie.
I know, but there's worse things I could bring up that have happened in Apatow movies, so.
There was one female, a comedy with a female lead with a lot of adventures and a lot of crudeness from her.
Uh-huh.
And does that ring any bell at all?
There was the sweetest thing with Cameron Diaz. And by the way, Diaz was in this.
Yeah. It was very crude.
Yeah, it was really crude.
Yeah.
I guess it was the point of saying women could be crude too, but it wasn't all
but
that.
But you need a good script. You need something.
See,
it's
that's
not about
what I mean.
Crudeness.
I know.
It's about the representation of women.
You notice I said
not
feelings
being psychos on a movie screen.
You notice I said feelings and bonding first before I got to the gas part.
Feelings.
See,
and
it's in that order.
Aww.
Yeah, the motherhood of the traveling pants. So anyway.
That trailer I felt like I wanted to bash my head against a file cabinet.
This one?
Yeah, just the one we listened to.
Wow.
I really didn't want to see this movie, too.
Well, I saw it for you.
Thank you so much.
That's the credo here. I see films so you don't have to.
Like another woman who's about marriage. You're
going to be. Yes,
she's going to get married.
Don't you know? You are nothing if you're not married. You're useless.
It's like, come on, with 2010, guys. Like, can we have some kind of movie that's not about the girl getting married?
Yes,
and,
I just pitched it to you. We make it. It's 2.5 hours and flatulent talk.
All right.
Well, I'm trying.
We'll work on that one.
I'm trying.
We have to cut that one part out.
Oh, gosh. There's every other female art film nobody sees. It's Friends with Money and
that was a good, that was
the
a good
other,
movie.
See, you're, mm-hmm. I think
like
the three of us,
money.
I uh-huh. think we're the ones who saw that.
That was a good film.
And then the other one that he did, that same filmmaker, it was Screaming and Crying? What with Brendan
Fleming?
Kicking his no, that's Noah Baumbach and not the bad Will Ferrell.
Rising and Falling,
something like that. Spinning and rolling and tumbling. Oh, that's a Blues House Party. Never mind. Anyway, I guess, and I swear I'm not turning into Roger Ebert, but I this one was not as horrible as it could have been. So here's my response to Leap Year.
I think it's overrated.
Shut up, you!
There you go. I know. Now, Ed, you got since I saw that. That's a fair trade off. You got to see Youth in Revolt.
Right. This is Michael Cera from Arrested Development and Juno,
and of stammering fame.
Yeah, stammering, but very clear when he does talk. Very clear and not exactly wise beyond his years, but
he's not
erudite.
Not Dakota Fanning.
No.
Okay.
No, nobody's Dakota Fanning.
Not even Amy Poehler. So,
but it's a coming of age story, and he decides that being a bad boy would be the better way to get a relationship of substance with a woman. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it is just say losing his virginity, but either way,
right?
And that's basically the movie. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Should we give him an audio example?
Sure.
Okay, Melissa, whenever you're ready.
My name is Nick. I live with my charming mother. Her latest boyfriend, Jerry, is a pathological liar.
If a woman answered the phone, it was probably just the maid.
He's a real prize. My dad is currently in between jobs. Lacey is dad's girlfriend.
Lacey, come here, you.
It's amazing how much action everyone around me seems to be getting. With one exception.
Honey, this is Sheenie Saunders. She just stopped by to introduce herself. Isn't that neighborly?
For Nick, Sheenie was the one.
Do you want to find my exposed areas?
Sure.
Until she became the one.
You get turned on easily?
Who got away.
Sheenie, I think I love you.
Nick, you're very nice, but I have a boyfriend.
Hello, Nick.
Bad break, Nick.
Well, I'll be leaving.
Shot through the heart!
Now, to win her over, he'll have to give love.
Bad night!
I've decided to create a supplementary persona named Francois Dillon. Bold. Contemptuous of authority.
Thanks for breakfast. Where are you going?
And irresistible to women.
You're not going to get this girl by sitting around listening to records. It's time to rebel, Nick. It's time to be bad.
How far will one guy go for the girl of his dreams?
I burned down Berkeley for you.
So romantic, Nicky. Kiss me, you weenie.
Say we let the kid do the dishes, and you and I retire to the master bedroom.
Mom, do you think it's a puppy love thing with Jerry, or is he someone that I can look forward to having around for years to come?
Sheenie's coming home for Thanksgiving. You should be there.
Paul served an appetizer earlier.
Stuffed mushrooms.
It's gonna change your life.
Have fun.
You're going to jail.
I'll only ask once that you and your adorable sweater step away from the door. Seems to me you've got two options. Fake your own death or commit suicide.
I think you're being so bad.
Not half as bad as the nasty things I want to do to you right now. If that's okay with you.
I was curious, Ed. The ad campaign feels a lot. I mean, they're trying to push this as, say, another Superbad or, in a weird way, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. I guess, you know, the previous Michael Cera material. But as I'm listening to it, it seems like there's a little bit, and I know it's based on a really well-known book.
Yeah, serious.
But is it darker than the ad campaign is showing?
No.
No? Okay.
No, it's almost exactly what you just heard.
Okay.
He's a youth in revolt. As much as Michael Cera, the Michael Cera character that we've come to know, can be.
Okay.
And that's basically the movie. It's not unpleasant. It's kind of pleasant. It's extremely low key. Everyone gets just fine performances. The script doesn't, you know, no one got brain strain writing the script. But I mean, it's not stupid.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'd give it exactly a grade C if I had the capacity to do that.
I see, and I know there's a lot of supporting players, familiar faces to folks.
Jean Smart and Mary Kate Place.
That's cool.
And Fred Willard makes a nice appearance. He knows how to come into a movie just long enough to make you remember him.
It's kind of like I use the basketball now, of a guy coming off the bench, hitting a three, and then sitting back down. I think
yeah.
J.K. Simmons, I think, leads the league in 3 points.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
And, wow, Mary Kay Place. So she was in this, and it's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So nice to see her popping up again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you could do worse than this movie. I can't recommend it, really. I mean, it's harmless. It's pleasant. But is that what you spend $9.50 on, you know?
Well, we didn't, but we're film critics.
Yeah, I paid for a movie last week.
You
though.
Did? I
for the first time in about a decade.
Avatar. Well, you know, if you're going to jump in, we'll get to that in a second.
$15 a person.
You went at night? Or was it during the day?
The IMAX 3D.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's bound to happen. My wife, a couple times when I take Linda to the theater, and she will say something like, honey, every now and then you got to take one for the team. You got to remind yourself.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So I'm trying to remember the last. I can't remember the last time. That's really awful.
This really was the first time in at least a decade. I remember I was in Beverly Hills for something, and I went to a film there and I had to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And that was a good decade ago.
Yes.
And it's just, I hate paying for things.
I think
I
like stuff that's cool. I don't like stuff that sucks. Another Beavis and Butthead mentality.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I guess overall this is, I think, what Ed thinks of Youth and Revolt, and we'll move on to Avatar for a second.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
Now,
wasn't that bad though either.
Okay.
You know,
that's fine.
I mean, you're not gonna feel awful if you go see it. You know, it's amusing. It's just milder than I think it needed to be.
Okay, and this is what he was holding out on before doing Arrested Development, the film version of Arrested Development.
Yeah, and that can't turn out well, so good for him.
Yes. Now, before we get to the, well, we'll get to the top 10 a little later on, but I will ask, since I saw your write-up of Avatar in Nuvo, which you can get in newsstands anywhere, and Nuvo.net, and would Avatar be on your list now, since you already put out your list a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
Really?
I would put it in the, I make a top 20 each year, because top 10s are so boring. The fun stuff is between 11 and 20.
Sure. Where would you put it, top
I'd
or bottom?
Put it somewhere around, somewhere between 15 and 20.
Okay.
But it would be in my top 20 movies.
All right. So, and 3D, IMAX?
Yeah, if you're going to do it. I mean, because the theaters, the 3D at the normal theaters is $12.50.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, just go ahead and spring for the whole thing and go for the IMAX down by Southern Plaza.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the script, you know, James Cameron doesn't know how to write scripts. He doesn't know how to write character dialogue either.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows how to take that clunky stuff and make really dynamic movies. And he's made one.
Okay.
You know, you won't remember it 20 minutes after it's over, but boy, it's great while it's happening.
All right. Well, there you go. And I know that's next. I think that's next on the list for me.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I have not. No, because, well, remember, they didn't have a screening for us.
They didn't have a screening for us. One of the people in our little film society drove to Chicago to see
Chris Lloyd, we salute you. So, yeah, I was hoping
I worry about him.
Well, he's okay.
I worry about driving to Chicago to see a movie.
Well, he doesn't have any children.
Well, I think he did it out of spite, too, though.
Just to make a point.
Yeah.
That's fine. It better him than I, you know, I couldn't put my smarter two. Let's put it this way. Emma, who loves going to movies, I said, honey, are you interested in Avatar? No.
Yeah. Tyler doesn't want to see it either, which it was kind of surprising to me. I mean, he's 12, so I was like, want to see Avatar?
Because that's core audience, 12-year-old boys.
He said no.
Not this one. It doesn't look that way. In the trailers, it doesn't look that way. Yeah. By the way, Chris Lloyd did a leg press of some enormous amount of weight. I read this on Facebook today, and
yes,
I'm not sure how much you usually do on when you do a leg press, but this seemed like an extraordinarily large amount of weight. So congratulations to you, Chris,
salute,
for that.
Salute, Chris. We appreciate your driving and your leg pressing.
Yeah, well, more of that and less driving to Chicago for movies. That's my advice.
Oh, boy, yeah. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we will get to the DVD release. Just one. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows, as voted on by music journalists across the city, and our on-track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know what I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. And I'm also on Facebook. One film note, if you don't have any plans tonight, well, I mean, after you listen to the show, of course, at the IMA at 7 o'clock, they're starting their regular film series. This is the first one, but they're showing the Marlene Dietrich film The Blue Angel this evening. Ah. So if you get a chance, go see that. Next week, same time, 7 o'clock, our friend Lou Harry will be hosting a screening and discussion of Robert Altman's Nashville.
That's
going to be cool to see on a big screen. And I'm telling people, I wrote that Lou on Facebook, stand up when Henry Gibson enters the scene because he deserves your respect.
Can I throw something in real quick?
Please.
Tonight, this isn't film related, except that the man made films, I guess. That's it. There's
yes, that's
connection.
It. We take any old.
Elvis Presley, who made a series of startlingly good films in the 60s. Elvis's birthday is being celebrated tonight at Locals Only.
Ah, yes.
With the Danny Thompson Trio. That's Danny Thompson of Sloppy Seconds, yeah, and of Bigger Than Elvis. Mandy Marie and the Cool Hand Lukes, whose CD $600 Boots is outstanding.
Cool.
And Harley Poe, about whom I know nothing except that I were supposed to expect unusual things.
All right.
But that's tonight at Locals Only, and I'll be there. That'll do
music,
it.
You're not signing anything.
Yeah.
Or you could, I guess. But
I'll be signing copies of Nouveau.
Ah, see, that's right. They are there. I've done it. And I was like, really? You're not even a child. What? I mean, it's anyway, it's fun. We love signing stuff. You know what? My daughter, Emma, the kids film correspondent, she likes Elvis. I've shown her a number of Elvis movies so far of various degrees. Because I think I'm one of the few people, because of my mother, huge Elvis fan, I've seen every Elvis Presley film ever made.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a chapter in a book someday. But Emma likes him for some reason, and
I can tell you why. He's hot.
She does not say that. Don't encourage
her.
I
saw a picture, NPR posted a picture of him when he was 21, and I was like, my goodness, he was a beautiful, beautiful man.
Yes, he was.
He really was.
As was Peter O'Toole.
Ooh. Yes.
Remember, it was Florence of Arabia. He was so good looking. So anyway, somewhere down the road, we'll talk about the Elvis stuff. Now I have to say, there's one film on DVD that came out. Actually, there was two. It was also on DVD this week. This is The Final Destination, but I haven't seen any of the first three or four. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to follow the story.
I saw the first one and the second one, and it's basically, it all boils down to killing teenagers imaginatively. And there's something about that that's tremendously appealing to teenagers. And actually, the first time you watch it, it is kind of, I mean, they come up with some very creative ways of killing people. So, I can't imagine watching four of them.
So the intellectual teenagers, as opposed to the dumb teenagers that like the slasher movies, this one is, you know, more creative as
yes.
far as, oh, great.
They're being pursued by death itself.
I see.
Every one of these starts with some great big accident, and a group of people don't
right.
live, and that's cheating death. So death itself stalks them and kills them.
But nobody plays chess with them.
No. No one in hoods or anything.
Oh, that's a bummer.
No robes, no hoods.
That's...
No service.
That's good. I like that. All right. However, what is on DVD this week, and it was a huge hit at the Soci House, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Uh-huh.
One of the fun titles this year. Oh, my goodness. Bill Hader. And nice, even though it's vocal work, nice to see the character guys get in the lead. Plays Flint Lockwood, my hometown in, well, Lockwood. He's an inventor and trying to come up with something that would just wow the world. And he does. It's a weather machine that makes food fall to the ground. And we have the voices of Bill Hader, Anna Faris, Mr. T, James Caan, Bruce Campbell, Andy Samberg, Neil Patrick Harris, Will Forte, Al Roker, and much, much more. Listen to this.
Since he was a little boy, Flint Lockwood dreamed of being a famous inventor.
Remote control television!
The trouble was, his inventions tended to be a little unusual.
Rat bird!
What's going on, little guy?
Squeak, squeak, squeak!
But a guy like Flint never, ever gives up.
Flint.
Something's wrong.
And then one day, he made an incredible discovery.
Conversion of water into food.
Networking power grid.
Yes!
Everyone is going to love this.
This fall. If you have a hunger for excitement and an appetite for adventure, prepare to get served. Chance of Meatballs in mouth-watering 3D.
Everything's made of jello. Cannonball! Belly flop!
Why did I do that?
Food, glorious food. You have to try it.
Yeah, we get to hear music from Oliver done by today's hot new artists. And they're usually like the bands that you never hear anywhere except in the movie theater before the show starts.
Yeah.
They never come to town. I don't know why. First off, I guess I think we're in agreement. I think in retrospect, 2009 is going to go down as one of the best years for animation.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
And I think would not be surprised if the 5 films up for Best Animation do fare a lot better than the 10 films up for Best Picture. And I'm really hoping that some of those films from the 5 wind up in the 10.
Well, what's our 5 going to be?
I got 4, sort of an idea. Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Absolutely.
Coraline.
Right.
I'm really hoping Ponyo gets in there as
that
well.
That would be nice.
Up. And...
What's number 5?
I don't know. I mean, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs has a chance. Monsters vs. Aliens has a chance. I think there's one that I've heard a little about, and I've seen no trailers for it in this city. I think it's a Canadian one with Philip Seymour Hoffman, where he's pen pals with a kid, and it's not creepy. But it looks like the art house, like the Triplets of Belleville, that kind of the token art house looking animated film that's probably geared toward more mature fare as opposed to the kid stuff.
I kind of think Meatballs is going to get that fifth spot.
And you know what? We were talking off air. Melissa thought the title was a joke.
I
did. It was not a real movie.
I thought it was some kind of joke, and then I was like, oh, no, it's a real movie.
It is. And, you know, story-wise, not a whole lot. You just want to see food drop to the ground and have a big... You know, it has a disaster movie feel, especially with the tornado of spaghetti and meatballs. So, and I could find the 3D moments. I didn't have a 3D DVD version of it. I don't know if there is one because the place I go to didn't have it at my leisure. But, you know, just a lot of fun visuals, good energy, good to look at, nice voice work. Mr. T actually is in something of merit, and I just saw the A-Team trailer, and he's not going to be happy because he's not in it.
So
George Pard's not in it either, and of course he's dead. But anyway, so yeah, it's just a nice breezy hour and a half. It might make the fifth nomination because we determine who is first through fifth.
Which one would you pick?
Out of the two.
Out of the animated film.
See that I'm torn because I think Monsters vs. Aliens was a better film, and you know how much of it goes into the story and how much is considered for the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, I think I preferred, story-wise, I preferred Monsters vs. Aliens. I think this look of the visuals for Cloudy are flashier.
I would go completely for Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Well, we'll get to that, but yeah.
I think that's the one.
We hope. I really hope.
Yeah.
And personally, I really want Ponyo in there because apparently, you know, the Golden Globes hate Ponyo for some reason. And why would you? It's a sweet little fish that becomes a girl. I mean, there's nothing wrong with her.
No.
So,
where the wild things are, would that be under animation?
No.
Okay. Costumes and a little bit kind of CGI, but not enough animation.
But it has a feel to that. I think also because it's based on the book, and a lot of people know the book. So overall, I think this is how I felt about Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Now that was a good movie.
It was. We'll take a short break, and we will get into the best and worst of 2009. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis, and we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows, as voted on by music journalists across the city, and our on-track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Oh, Roger! We're not alone.
We've got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And with that, I welcome Ed Johnson-Ott to Film Sociology.
I don't like that at all.
This is Film Sociology, a film talk show here at WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. And I should also mention, on Mondays, this show is available as a podcast.
So, ah.
Yeah. We're moving ahead into the 21st
century. So you can hear your slur for forever. We can put it in a time capsule.
A slur? To dig, maybe. More of a slur.
All right.
But, okay. I'm Matthew Sosie, along with Ed Johnson-Ott and Melissa Davis. And I think I'm the last person on Earth to unveil my top 10, which is fine, because...
And I get to be here for it. Me and Melissa.
See? I know. I mean, you revel in this. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in 2 more months, I'm going to do it again, because I'm going to see if there's any change.
Yeah.
Since there's still a number of films that have not opened yet or have been screened for us. And so anyway, but Ed, since you are my guest and I am your host, I'll let you go through yours in case somebody didn't pick up a nouveau, which should. But yeah, go ahead. And you know what? I will let you do the 20. I know you prefer 20 over 10. So
you want to do the reverse David Letterman approach?
Yeah, I think so.
Number 20, Food Incorporated. I'm not going to go into details on all these.
No, sir. No, you don't have to.
19, A Serious Man, which, has that opened here yet?
Oh, yeah, it played.
Okay.
It played.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
18, It's Complicated, the Meryl Streep, Alec Baldwin movie.
I was surprised you had it on there.
I liked
that
it.
Much. Really?
I
did too,
it.
But...
Yeah,
okay.
And it was a nice throwback to, you know.
Okay.
17, The Damned United. Really good movie that most people didn't go see, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a shame.
If you like Bobby Knight characters, or if you're interested in Bobby Knight type characters, go see his
Deutsche Bank coaches.
The Damned United is the name of the movie.
Yes.
Anvil, The Story of Anvil, was number 16. The documentary of the Never Say Die metal band.
That's probably my favorite documentary this year.
That's a wonderful little movie.
Yep.
And they're
gigging, which makes it even better. They're benefiting from it.
Uh-huh.
So that was cool.
15, Zombieland. Woody Harrelson kills zombies with Jesse Eisenberg, who is the secret brother of Michael Cera.
However, just a reminder, if you watch Squid and the Whale, he's not Woody Allen totally.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
14, 9, Not the Musical.
Okay.
Most definitely not that musical. This is an animated film that
Does this have a chance, maybe?
This should be on the animated list, too. This
absolutely
should be on the top 5 animated list.
Okay.
It's gorgeous to look at, and the texture of the film is amazing. 13, Up. Which I know doesn't fit with a lot of other people, but at least it made the list.
Right.
12, The Hangover. And I would also include I Love You, Man on there, because, boy, that movie made me laugh.
Good.
11, Precious. 10, A Single Man, which comes out here in a week or two.
Yes.
I think a week from Friday.
Colin Firth, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boy, it's the feel-bad movie of 2010.
Are you sure? There's a few out there,
man. Oh, this one really goes for it, though.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's really, really good and really depressing. You should take Prozac with you. 9, Moon. Sam Rockwell in a great little sci-fi story, mystery, meditation, just a terrific movie.
And
Moon.
Not enough people saw that either.
No, it's a shame.
Yeah.
8, 500 Days of Summer with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And Zooey Deschanel.
Also one of Mike Perry's favorites. The Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Nice movie. 7, Adventureland.
Wow.
Everybody overlooked this movie. It was a really nice
really
movie.
Really liked it and made our finalists.
Yes.
In the
film group.
Vision Award. So.
6, Up in the Air. I didn't like it near as much as most people, but I liked it. 6.
Okay.
5, An Education. A Star is Born. Her name is Carrie Mulligan.
Quite good.
And Alfred Molina, he ain't half bad either.
Man, he's
he's funny.
He's due. He's got to get one, finally.
Number 4, The Hurt Locker, which is just Catherine Bigelow. Is James Cameron's wife? Is that right?
No. Ex-wife.
Okay.
I think she was wife number 1 before Linda Hamilton, before Susie Amos.
Okay.
So.
Well, just a terrific movie, and if you're one of those people that doesn't go to movies involving the Iraq War, go to the movie. It's just excellent.
This is the exception to the rule.
Yeah, it's just really, really good. Number 3, and I would move this around. I think I would move this up a little more now. Where the Wild Things Are. This movie has stuck with me, and when I made the list, it was 3. I think it would be higher right now.
Okay.
Number 2, The Fantastic Mr. Fox. Just a great movie.
A lot of fun.
Wes Anderson does some of his finest work yet. Number 1, District 9.
Wow.
I love that movie.
You know, some of my best friends are aliens.
Ah.
Another thing.
This is one of the greatest mixes of cinema verite. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
Filmmaking, sci-fi, real as today. Gritty, fantastic, all of these things blended together. It just amazes me. And it just came out of nowhere. And the setting works so perfectly. Everything works so perfectly. And I didn't mind that part that you minded.
I know. I'll get to that in a second. What do you mean? Well, for me, the last third turns into more of an action film than I would have liked.
Uh-huh.
We should give credit to the lead.
I can't say his name.
I can't say his name. He's not Voldemort.
It's illegal.
But the fact is, he had to put in 3 performances. He was pencil pusher, bureaucrat in the first third. Then he was angst-ridden, hurt, handy victim. And then he becomes action hero. So that guy, hopefully, will get some more coverage.
And was this his first acting
job? I think it was.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
The film's amazing. I think I probably would put Wild Things as number one at right now.
Okay.
But District 9 is the one I picked, and boy, what a movie. And it is out on DVD.
It is out on DVD. So.
It gets grisly. It needs to get grisly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be ready for that. But, boy, what a good time.
You want to come back in March and see if the list sticks?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, here's my... I'm glad with the honorable mentions, but a few of those that are on mine are on yours. But number 10 for me was Ponyo.
Uh-huh.
I just felt good watching that. Number 9, Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Uh-huh.
Think the same. Number 8 for me was the political farce In the Loop, another film nobody saw. With James Gandolfini, and it's about a British politician who misspeaks and almost starts World War III. And the guy who plays, you see, here at Film Sociology, if we don't know your name, we call you the guy who plays Olson, Danny Olson from Local Hero.
Peter something with a G, I think. He's really good.
Melissa, IMDb Local Hero, please, are in the loop.
He's really good.
He is great in this.
Capaldi.
Okay.
Peter Capaldi, I believe.
Wasn't he in Derek and the Dominoes? Jim Capaldi, sorry.
He also, The Thick of It was a British series, and they may be even making more, I'm not sure. But this is based on The Thick of It. They ran it on BBC America. It's one of the best series I've ever seen in my life.
And he was in that?
And this movie, I believe, was... based on or inspired by that series.
Okay. And he was also in Ken Russell's Lair of the White Worm.
Yeah.
As was Hugh Grant and Catherine Oxenberg. Anyway.
I'm actually lobbying on the internet for an American release of The Thick of It.
Oh,
that'd
be cool.
Good.
Yeah, I really, and In the Loop is on DVD, so go check that out. Number 7, Hurt Locker.
Yes.
That last image, and I don't think I'm giving anything away, but basically a guy knows what he, man's got to do what man's got to do, I think, in his case. And him adjusting to a different life really knocks you on your duff.
And it sticks with you. I mean, it's the exact opposite of Avatar. Avatar does wonderful things, but doesn't stick with you. This sticks with you.
And by the way, Catherine Bigelow should get a nomination for Best Director, and a lot of people are saying she might have a shot.
I would think so.
Yep. So, you know, Penny, Barbara, you can... go cry. Number 6, Away We Go. This is another film that stuck with me a lot. The uplifting Sam Mendes film with Maya Rudolph and John Krasinski and a bunch of really well-done supporting roles.
Zachary Levi's brother.
Yes. About a couple trying to find a new place to live while she's about ready to give birth. Really enjoyed it. Number 4, Up in the Air.
Uh-huh.
I talked about that. And no, I didn't dip it down lower when I realized it wasn't Vera Farmiga. I was very disappointed.
Oh, the stunt butt.
Yeah, stunt butt. I know. Number 3, and everybody gave me grief for this, although not as much grief as Chris Lloyd for Julie and Julia number 1, but I really enjoyed the musical 9. I enjoyed it a great deal.
Well, God bless you.
Well, mazel tov. So, sexy, fun. I'm an 8.5 Fellini dork, and I think everybody vocally is pretty equally strong in this. It's not celebrity Yoki like Mamma Mia. So
I'm just being polite.
That I know you are.
So I'm just
sitting
here.
Are you sure? Don't have your stomach acids burned.
No. I'm just, Mom said if you can't say something nice. And so.
Your mom's not here.
I know.
Okay.
It was really boring. And Daniel Day-Lewis wasn't very good.
Okay.
And I don't want to see a movie about writer's block. I don't care what they do. I don't want to see a movie about writer's block.
So, you're not going to watch Barton Fink?
Hush.
All right, let's get back to the list, shall we? Number 2, Up. And, okay. And for a while, this was number 1, but my number 1 was Where the Wild Things Are.
Ah.
I saw both of these twice in a theater. That's saying a lot, because I don't... hardly see anything twice, and if I do, it's on DVD the second time. And you know, it should be noted with Up and you know, kudos for Pixar for keeping the high quality. I think the montage at the beginning of Up is for me like Linus's monologue in A Charlie Brown Christmas. If you don't have a lump in your throat by the end, you're not human. Where the Wild Things Are really, really hit home with me, and part of it I think is the. If I was voting, this would be my best adapted screenplay.
Well, you know, my big three here, District 9, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, and Where the Wild Things Are. The thing they all have in common is they create completely different worlds, and then they fully immerse you in those worlds, mm-hmm. and you want to be there.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, all three of them. I mean, it's just amazing. And Where the Wild Things Are, like I said, I think back to it, and I feel it.
Yeah.
I feel the scenes when I think about the movie.
I love that Matt, we get a little bit of how Max sort of got to the way he is. I love the fact that all the monsters have characteristics, and geez,
uh-huh.
they're a lot like you and me. Visually amazing. I'm anxious to get the DVD of this so I can find out how much CG work there was, because it looks like there was none.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking in the back of my head when Ang Lee said he used CGI for extra clouds in Sense and Sensibility. So I'm wondering, I'm like, please don't let this be, all 99% CG. I'm really hoping they just found some gorgeous locations, and it just really, really resonated.
And it's not even too gorgeous.
No, it's not. It's not leafier or anything like that. It's not a travelogue. But, I mean, just what they did with this book, and it's really enjoyable. And I wound up seeing it twice in the theater, and I got choked up near the end. So.
And both this and Fantastic Mr. Fox are films that are technically children's films, but I think adults enjoy them way more than kids.
Oh, absolutely. And we're allowed to. We have to sit through a lot of stuff that parents have no business being at whatsoever and don't
Shrek.
Want to be.
Sorry, it was a knee-jerk reaction.
No, it's okay. Here's the thing. The issue I have with the first Shrek, and I actually think Shrek 2 is better, is the theme of that movie is accept people for who they are unless they're short.
Then make fun of them mercilessly.
Then make fun of them. So. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's mixed messages. And don't get me started on Grease.
Grease?
Now,
Grease?
Yes. Oh, God. You too?
What? I'm just curious.
The theme of that show is what? Conform, and if you want to be popular, dress like a tramp.
But it's Grease.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Grease.
Matt doesn't like it.
No, I know. And it's not the word. And besides the whole doesn't sound anything like the 50s and... the world's oldest high school student, Soccer Channing.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
I never for a second ever thought about the philosophy of that movie, I'll tell you.
Well, okay.
I just never, that movie was just so dismissible. I know it's enormously popular with a lot of people, but.
Yes.
Wow.
Hi, Melissa.
I told Matt's daughter that soon she will have to watch Grease because girls of that age usually become a little bit addicted to that movie.
Tell me more.
Usually.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
That's why I keep showing her other things, and hopefully we'll dodge that bullet.
I escaped it, but many, many of my other female comrades have fallen.
And you know what? The other thing, before we go off too far off the rails, but when I talked about... Because I'm also apparently a communist because I don't like A Christmas Story. Oh, but I think it doesn't. What doesn't help matters, and it's not you, but there's a very rabid fan base that react like I wipe myself with the American flag.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying it's the worst Christmas movie ever made. Surviving Christmas, I think, has that title.
I think Christmas with the Clunks would be a good... They
the
could
cranks.
Duke it out.
Yeah, that's...
With
that's,
the Cranks,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's also pretty bad. But the fact that I don't... jump off a building chanting Ralphie's name because it's just not my thing.
It's the best thing
but
ever.
The rabbit, but they have become, I think a lot of Christmas Story fans are like the film equivalents to cheeseheads, Packer fans, cowboy fans, Yankee fans. You're either for it or you're against it.
Yeah.
You're just gone.
This year was the first year where, we do our annual thing like everybody else and turn it on because you got to watch it at least once. This was the first year where I noticed how crummy a lot of it is. amateuristic. I was just really surprised by a lot of scenes. I love the movie,
yeah.
but this, maybe I just saw it enough times that I started realizing that there's some terrific overacting in the movie and stuff. I still treasure it, but not quite as much as I did before.
It was a low budget film, I think, wasn't it?
Well, it was moderately budget because Bob Clark knows about low budgets. I think Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things was made for $12, and there was Black Christmas. So yeah, it was moderately budgeted. Okay. Yeah. I don't think Darren McGavin asked for seven figures.
He should have.
Oh, well, I'm sure he did okay. After
Darren McGavin was very cool. He was overacting. He was very cool.
Darren McGavin was just cool, period.
Even and Mom, Bones. Everybody. I mean, it was a cool movie. Yeah.
Well,
and I really liked when they put the little X's over the guy's eyes. That was just great.
I think being from Indiana, too, you just kind of identify, especially with the snowsuit and how, you know, your mom dresses you up in the morning and you can't move.
And you made pig noises when you ate?
Yeah, sometimes.
Did they say Terre Haute in that movie?
They mispronounce the Indiana city names just ever so slightly sometimes. Like, I think they don't say Hobart, but it's supposed to have taken place in Hobart, right?
Well, your film. My film my film representing my hometown as a kid is Roger and Me. So,
oh, that's sad.
So there.
Yikes.
I know. All right. Now, you don't do a worse film. You do annoying films.
Most annoying. Yeah, because worst is a whole other thing.
Okay. Go ahead. I know you have three were published. I know.
I only published three.
Oh, you only published three. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to bother.
All right.
You know, Bruno was number three.
Bruno.
You loved it, really?
Every second of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Not every second.
Yes, it's childish, and yes, we all know this, but there's just some folks that really deserve to. The MMA crowd deserved to see what they did at the end of the film.
I don't know. All I could think was, you know, I mean, I thought of the points he made with Borat, and then I looked at Bruno, and it was, let's see now, stage parents are not usually nice people, show business can be vacuous, and America still has problems with homosexuality. Wow, you really tore the lid off those subjects. You know, it just was,
And he got to a swinger party.
Oh, yeah, hey, there we go. Anyway, number two, Land of the Lost, easy target,
You saw that.
So. You have to say it, you know.
Yep.
Number one, Old Dogs. That is the most annoying. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I got to miss that one, too.
It's just, even putting aside how annoying Robin Williams can be, it's way beyond, I mean, you just feel bad for the man. You feel bad for John Travolta. You feel bad for everyone connected with this movie. It's just horrible.
Wow.
It's aggressively bad.
Oh, jeez.
You know, and then it made a fairly good amount of money.
Of course, because this the same people that saw Wild Hogs went to go see it.
Oh, this Wild Hogs is a work of genius compared to this movie. I'm telling you.
Oh, gosh. That means it didn't come out on DVD, so I'm sure. I actually did the 10 worst because I have a high threshold of pain. So I'll get through these quickly. Number 10, Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Pretty bad.
Please go rent, observe, and report the better of the Mall Cop movies, please. Number 9, it is. Number 9, Obsessed, Beyonce doing Fatal Attraction.
I love that. I thought it was hilarious.
I think it's a get drunk and watch bad. I mean, there's a cat fight in this film, and I can't even, that doesn't even save it. Number 8.
And then the girl from Heroes is the Allie Lautner.
Yes.
Lautner.
Yeah,
she's good crazy.
Yeah, she's crazy. Crazy bad. Number 8, Pink Panther 2.
Ooh.
So many good people and such a useless thing.
Ooh.
Number 7, because you have to, film critics are allowed to have a tie. It's not the worst psychotic romantic comedies, but it's a tie between I Hate Valentine's Day, written, directed, and starring Nia Vardalos, and the Sandra Bullock produced and starring All About Steve.
Oh, that was awful.
She had a great year, not a perfect year.
No.
So let's not forget that. Number 6, Madea Goes to Jail. Yeah, I rented it because they don't show that to us, white or black. Number 5, yeah, this was the worst, the one, your favorite romantic comedies, The Ugly Truth. Catherine Heigl, who did or didn't enjoy herself while doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Gerard Butler's years, you got to work on. Hopefully have a better 2010. Number 4, Orphan. Now I know why Vera did that film. I'm sure she got a little bit more money to do that film than, say, Up in the Air.
Yeah.
It was unpleasant. And the dumbest plot twist of the year. Number three, Transformers.
Okay, yeah.
Said, when you follow the same script outline as Bad Boys 2, that's bad. Number two, Bride Wars.
Oh.
Unpleasant.
Yes, it was.
And worst film, I can't believe I saw this, Miss March.
Oh, that was a
the
terrible movie.
The two boys that go, yeah.
Yeah, that was terrible.
It was awful. So, oh, perfect. I don't have to talk about these films anymore. So.
I rent obsessed. It's so good, it's bad. I'm telling you.
So that's your get drunk and watch bad
pick. Oh, absolutely so good,
okay,
it's bad.
Okay, so you know what? We have to talk about that sometime.
Beyonce whoops it. She just whoops that woman good.
Ed Johnson out from Nuvo and IFJA. Thank you for coming.
Happy 2010.
Yes, and on behalf of Melissa Davis, and Ed, I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.